Hi, everyone, for another podcast. For those of you who'll be listening on the podcast or YouTube video, my name's Aaron, and we are now on day 28 of our challenge. Man, this time has flown 28 days since I started this, maybe a little more since I missed a few due to technical issues. And man, it's been, at times the enemy has really wanted me to stop this. And believe me, there have been times that I get up and I go, oh, I need to do that live. And the enemy goes, you don't need to do this live. I mean, you know, people don't really care if you do it or don't do it. And the enemy wants me to stop doing this. And I've had to just ask the Lord for strength and say, you know, Lord, there's a reason you put this on my heart right at the beginning. Because right now, people need encouragement. People need to focus on me and to focus on, not me, but on the Lord. And to just to focus on my power and my strength, I felt the Lord saying to me. And so I'm pushing through. I'm going through these 31 days and then seeing what God has got next for us. But thank you for all of those who have hung in there and are... please let me know as we go through this. If you're listening on the podcast or if you're listening live right now, please send comments to me. Let me know how this has helped you, especially when we're done as well. Has this encouraged you? Have you been doing some of these challenges? When you do these challenges, are they having an impact? Are they challenging you instead of looking at everything that is wrong right now with the world, starting to focus on the things that are right, and that is God at work? Well, we're continuing with this whole aspect of God's goodness, as Paul tells us at the end of Philippians 4:8, where he speaks about on everything that is excellent or praiseworthy. But in fact, today we're going to transition to the second part, because Paul says in everything that is excellent, which we've discovered was the word arete, which basically means on you focus on God's goodness, and moving over to that everything is praiseworthy. And there's a reason Paul does this, because today we're going to look at how God's goodness leads to the second part, which is praise. And we've covered the first two parts. There's a few other things that I decided I'm not going to get into too much depth. But the first one we spoke about was how do we view God and His goodness? And I think that foundation needs to be laid, a mind change, a renewal of our mind on how we see God and how we see His goodness. And number two, that yesterday we spoke about that God's goodness never ends. The third thing I want to speak about that I feel God laying on my heart was that God's goodness leads to us praising Him. It's His goodness, it's His grace, it's His mercy, it's these things that generate praise in our hearts towards Him. But, you know, I think we've been so spoilt in the church, so spoilt with the fact that we go to church and it's almost an expectation, well, the band's going to get up on the stage, they're going to strum their guitars, and sometimes it's an amazing show, and it's awesome. I'm not going against what the amazing praise and worship time in church is, and that's good. But praise and worship really needs to be a lifestyle. It doesn't need to be something we do on a Sunday once a week where we get that opportunity to sing along with drums and music. And the question is, what are we doing in our own homes? What are we doing in our cars? And there's a reason for all this. And that's what I want to kind of talk about, encourage and challenge you today in this challenge, because no more than ever that we've ever needed it is God's people need to get into praise. They need to get into worship at this time. And I want to just unlock this and show you this power. This word praise that Paul uses, think about legitsumai, which is the whole aspect of credit this to your brain, credit it to your mind, is God's goodness. But once you've got that settled, it's going to generate this thing called praise. And the Greek word there is ephaphinos, or enthusiastic acknowledgement of the things that deserve praise. And who more needs our enthusiastic acknowledgement, or that deserves our enthusiastic acknowledgement, than God and what He has done in our lives? The prefix epi there, the epiphenos, suggests commendation, a commendation that fits. In other words, we're not lying about it. We're not praising. You know, we've all received hollow praise from people, and or we've given hollow praise, you know, just to kind of benefit somebody. But the praise that we give God is not hollow, because everything we say about him, if it's praise, it's true, because he deserves it. He's God, and he, if we understand that what he's done for us, the praise that comes from our mouths, it fits who he is, fits him. Well, David understood this, and I want to look at this in Psalm 34. And write this down, Psalm 34, 1 through 3. In fact, I encourage you, one of the challenges to today is to take Psalm 34 and read from verse 1 all the way through verse 8. This is an amazing psalm of David. Look, there's no one else, I think, in the Bible, very few, that understood praise, understood worship than David. And David was a flawed guy, okay? We know about Bathsheba, we know about all this stuff, and yet David understood the power of praise. And so if there's somebody I'm going to take advice from, somebody I'm going to listen to when he talks about praise, it's going to be this guy named David. Listen to what he says. He says in Psalm 34:1, he says this, he says, I will extol, praise, the Lord at all times. Wow. Listen to that again. I will praise him at all times. Now, let me just stop there, because what does all times mean? Does it mean only when things are going great with me, when my job or my business is flourishing, when my kids are listening to me and obeying, when my husband or my wife, we got a good relationship, when things are going hunky-dory, is that when we praise? Well, yes, we should, because that what that produces is we're seeing the God's work in our lives, and that produces thankfulness. But it's not the David says at all times, not just once, not just twice, not just when it's good, but all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted, listen to this, let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Let the afflicted. Now, some of us feel afflicted right now. Some of us feel under pressure, afflicted by many things. But what David says is, I want you to hear. I want you to hear this, and I want you to rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And it goes on. I encourage you and challenge you, read that scripture. You see, something that David does is he declares that we need to praise the Lord at all times, whether those times are good, whether those times are bad. They are cultivate a constant attitude of praise, not waiting for Sunday's televised service, not waiting until we get back into church to praise God. This needs to be a time that we, and this is a great time for parents to start teaching your children how to praise, how to worship God, even in times when things don't look good. Yes, something that you need to see, and I've been seeing this more and more. Why do you think the enemy wants to focus us so much on everything negative happening, all the bad things that are happening? Why we open our homes to the media that is all about bad news? Because when we are, our minds are so crediting ourselves, as Paul said, don't do this, but we do. We credit our minds with things that are not praiseworthy, things that are, that make us go, oh no, and worry and fear. The enemy goes, yay, because what that does is it stops us from praising. But why should we? Why should we even think about praise? What is even the purpose? Let me just give you a few reasons, a few things that I think that praise does for me and you, for us as Christians. Number one, praise refocuses our minds on God and connects our heart with ease. You see, as long as we're looking at the waves, we're sinking. What praise does is it turns our eyes back to Jesus. It turns our eyes back to our source. Look, your business is not your source, though it might feel that way. Your salary is not your source. Your abilities, your health is not your source. These things, and as long as we as Christians consider these things as our source, these things as the thing that where we are able to survive from, we miss the real point. that God is our ultimate source. He provides our health. He provides our jobs. He provides our businesses. He is the one that is behind it all. And we've got to move the sand away, all the rubbish, all the stuff that is in the way, and to start to realize He is our ultimate source. He is the one that even if your entire business folds, He can still provide for you. And not only that, He'll have something better for you in the future. The imminent things that are happening now, these are not your source. And praise does that. What praise does is it refocuses us on the waves, on the turmoil, on the things that are just looking too much for us, the things that are drowning us. Praise, when we start to praise Him, it starts to keep our eyes on Jesus. You know, we always hear, keep your eyes on Jesus. The problem is many of us don't know how to, that's just metaphorical. How do I keep my eyes on Jesus? I keep my eyes on Jesus when I choose to praise even when I don't feel like it. I choose to worship. And you don't have to be a great singer. You don't have to be a musician. You don't have to be any of those things to praise God. You don't even have to, you don't even have to sing. You can speak your praise if you feel uncomfortable singing. The key is get someone else to praise for you. I mean, there's tons of CDs and music and worship that we can play and sing along with, even though we sing bad. But it refocuses. So number one, praise gets our eyes off of the waves and refocuses it back on our real source. Not the source the world is telling you, oh, watch out, this is going to happen and you're going to lose your home. You're going to lose your food. You're going to be hungry. All the stuff that the enemy wants to focus you on, praise turns your eyes away from that and onto your real source. The one that really is providing for you. Two, praise fosters awareness of God's presence. At this time, we need to be aware of His presence like never before. We need to be aware that He is right there. Many of us go through an entire day without even being aware that God is right there with you. That God is not only with you, He is in you. That's the mystery, Christ in us. The hope of glory. He's closer than a brother. What does praise do? It suddenly creates, because we are feeling people. I'm a feeling person. I always want to feel. Well, if you want to feel God's presence, the best way to feel God's presence is not watching CNN or Fox News or whatever program you watch. That's not going to garner the presence of God to make you feel it. What is? Praise. I still remember years ago when I was still in South Africa, having to face a real troubling situation, and I didn't know I was going to face it, but God had given me a vision. I was teaching in the high schools at that time, and God had given me a vision to see the high school saved, and we had taken the entire school SCA, which is the Christian Committee, for those of you in America, and God had marched us around the school, and I was a Bible teacher in the school at that time, public school, 1,000+ kids, and God had told me to preach the gospel for an entire week. And we saw miracles. We saw 700 young people give their lives to the Lord. Before that even started, God had got me in the room and said, I want you to start praising and worshiping me like you've never have. And it made me just aware of His presence. Even that week, I felt His presence. The reason for that, God knew that the attack was coming. He knew that after the end, that bunches of churches in the town that I was speaking in came together and fought against me because they said, you can't do that. You're stealing people away from our churches. The attack came not from the Muslims and the Hindus and the Satanists who were getting saved in my class. It came from the church. And God knew that that was going to happen, but He said, you know what? You got to be aware of my presence at this time because the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. The key to praise is exactly that. It makes you aware of His presence and it makes you aware that you are not fighting this battle. This is not your battle. You are in His presence and the battle is the Lord's. This COVID-19, you don't have to fight it. You don't have to fight your job. You don't have to fight your business. You don't have to fight the enemy. The enemy has already been defeated. He's gone ahead of you and He's fought that enemy and He's beaten the snot out of him. Sorry, should I use that language on live? I want you to see this. Praise gets you to understanding and seeing and feeling, because we want to feel God's presence. Number three, praise pushes the worries of life into the background. It takes those things that we're so worried and concerned and consumed about, it takes it and pushes it into the background, and our entire vision is filled with Him. That's what praise does. There's no room for worry when you just have Jesus in front of you. There's no room for worry. You see, all the other disciples ran away. There was one disciple who understood the love of God that stood at the cross of Calvary, and his entire sight was filled with Jesus hanging on the cross. His name was John, the disciple that Jesus loved. And John never dropped that. He never ran away like Peter. He never hid like any of the other disciples. His worries were pushed away because all he saw was in front of him, his Savior. And he was one of the first people who saw Jesus rise after the other people who were at the cross, Mary. Worry, fear gets pushed into the background when we praise. Number four, praise reminds us of who God is and what He has done. Let me repeat that. Praise reminds us of who God is and what He has done. We need to be reminded. We are such forgetful lot. You know, the very next challenge we meet, we forget about the challenge He got us over the last time. And we need reminders. I need reminders. I need reminders of the times God has set me free, that God gave me victory in my life. I need those reminders constantly, because I'm quick to forget. I'm quick to forget as I'm facing my next challenge that God got me through it the last time. Why in the world will He drop me like a hot pancake now? Number five, praise recalls God's past provision and strengthens our hope in His future deliverance. Same thing, similar, but God is showing us what He's provided us for the past, and it gives us hope for the future. If we start to see what He's done, the provisions of the past, it's going to give us hope for the future. Number six, praise voices our dependence on God, relieving our fears. It actually tells us, Lord, I'm dependent on You. Number seven, praise helps develop an eternal perspective, paving the way for God's peace. In other words, guess what praise does? Even if I die, even like Paul said, what's the worst that can happen? Death. And we go, oh, well, no, because as Christians, guess what? Death is not a fearful thing. Death is a doorway where the Bible says, absent from the body, presence with the Lord. Death is not a, that's the worst thing. Now for non-Christians, that is a bad thing. That is a scary thing. But for us, death is not scary, because it's merely just a transition from one to the other. And I know we hate about not like talking about death, but praise helps us to understand that this life is but a drop in the bucket to the eternal life that God has given us. The things we are facing now are small compared to an eternal perspective. And praise helps us see eternal perspective. It's not just about here and now. It's about an eternity, a huge, amazing life that is never ending. We are immortal, right? Think of that Queen song from Highlander, right? I can't think of the names. One of my favorite songs. But, you know, we are the true immortals. This life is not our end. It continues. Praise opens our hearts to receive God's joy. I want to encourage you. Praise, because if you lack joy, the reason you are not joyful is because you're not praising. Praise opens our heart to receive. Joy is a gift. Just like peace is a gift, peace I leave you. It's a gift. Joy is also a gift. It's not something we have to work up. It's not something that we have to go and watch a comedian on Netflix to get. Joy, the real joy, The true joy is joy even in tough situations. I can still experience God's joy when things aren't going my way. Why? Because it's a joy that I receive. And what gives me the ability to receive real joy? Praise. When I start praising Him, I am opening myself up to receive His joy. And finally, praise fulfills the purpose for which we are created. You want true fulfillment? Praise. Because guess what? You and I were created to praise. God created us as beings of praise. He created us to worship and to praise Him, to be in this relationship of praise and worship. This is not boring. This is not cumbersome. This is something that when you actually, you know why many Christians feel like, oh, I got to praise today, or they get into church and have to lift my hands. Do I really have to lift my hands? Who do you think is creating those feelings? The enemy is fight. If there's one thing, the enemy will fight you to stop reading the word, because he knows that if you get the truth in it, in you, man, he can't stop you. It is written. The enemy hates that. It is written. But he also hates praise. He wanted Jesus to bow down to him and praise him, because he knows that when we are praise, when we are allowing worry and fear and anxiety and focusing on all the negative stuff, guess what? Guess who you are praising? You will praise someone. Know this. You will praise someone. And our anxiety and our fear and our worry and all those are praise. It's a praise. Because what does praise do? What does praise mean? Praise means giving acknowledgement to someone. Well, you're acknowledging the enemy's power. You're acknowledging the enemy's abilities by fear and worry. So you're praising him. So my challenge to you today is, who are you going to praise? Are you going to allow everything else in your life to hold you, and in that, you're going to be praising the enemy? Though you aren't saying praise Satan. You don't need to. Just worry and fear and focus on the media and think about those things. You praising. I'm pausing because I want that to sink in. I don't want to praise the enemy any longer. I've done that enough. I've glorified him through my fear and my anxiety, because it's a lack of trust in God. And by the way, none of this is condemnation, because we already dealt with that. I'm not condemning you. We all do this. This is a motivation. This is, hey, like Paul said, you're not mere humans. We are supernatural beings. You don't have to do that. You can praise because you're made to praise. You have the ability. Sometimes it's going to take a choice from your side. In fact, it will. It'll take a little bit of Holy Spirit. I don't feel like praising right now. I don't want to praise. In fact, I just want to put my head through that door right now. I'm so frustrated. I'm so angry. I'm so whatever the emotions and feelings that you have right now. I know. I've got many of them myself. But in those times we need His strength. And that's why, you know, do you think God didn't know this? That's why He said, I have to go away, Jesus said. I have to go. I mean, I could stay here, but I want to send someone better. His name's the Holy Spirit, and He's going to lead you into truth. Because people before the cross, before the Holy Spirit came, they couldn't do this. The Holy Spirit would come on one person here and come on David, and David could praise and worship, and then he'd leave, and he'd... Now we all got Him. Now all of us have Him. We are, wow. I mean, if we could get that revelation of Christ in us, the hope of glory, we can realize that we can praise, not because I've got to drum it up, but I just have to turn and say, Holy Spirit, I need you to help me praise right now. I'm going to open my mouth. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to praise. Fill my mouth. My challenge to you is start allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through you. To start praying. If you can't, if you just don't feel like you have the words, ask the Holy Spirit to start bringing to remembrance of all the good things God has done. Hey, I got two pictures right now up above my computer here of my two daughters staring back at me. Every time I look up at their faces, it generates praise, because these are gifts God's given me. And every time I look up, thank you, Jesus. You're so amazing. You deserve all the praise. You've blessed me. I'm not the best dad all the time, but you know what? You've blessed me with these amazing girls. Maybe you need to put some pictures up around things that can generate praise, because the enemy will try and focus on all the other things. So I want to encourage you, praise, praise, praise. Because those are, I gave you, and if you re-listen to it, you'll see those nine things that I gave you today for praise. Think about these things. Allow the Holy Spirit on everything that is praiseworthy credited to your mind, and you're going to see we're going to get through this and to the other side, because God is for us. And if He's for us, who can be against us? Thank you for listening. Thank you, everybody who has joined. Thank you, Michelle and Andre and Jillian and all those that have joined. Also, for those of you listening on my podcast, it's time for us to praise and stop allowing. We're going to praise someone. Let's choose to praise the Lord. He deserves all of our praise, no matter what. As David said, let your praise always be on my lips. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. And I will talk to you tomorrow for day 29. God bless you guys. And share, by the way, share. Let this out. God bless you.